Welkom bij de podcast Toppublicaties van Medische Oncologie, het ledentijdschrift van de NVMO. In deze serie gaan we in gesprek met onderzoekers over hun publicaties in internationale vaktijdschriften. De gast in deze aflevering is professor Bertrand Tombal van Kliniek Universitaire Saint-Luc in Brussel. Hij was betrokken bij de ARESENT-studie, waarvan de resultaten onlangs in de New England Journal of Medicine gepubliceerd zijn. De interviewer is Dr. Niven Mera, internist-oncoloog in het Radboud UMC en voorzitter van de werkgroep gemetastaseerd prostaatcarcinoom van Duos.
I would like to introduce Professor Bertrand Tombal. He's a professor of urology in the University Clinic of Saint-Luc in Brussels, Belgium. And Professor Tombal has been so kind to discuss in a podcast with us today the New England Journal publication of February 2022. On darolutamide and survival in metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. Welcome, Bertrand.
Thank you, and thank you for having me to discuss that paper.
Thanks again for joining us. So we are doing a podcast for the Dutch Society of Medical Oncology, and we're very happy to discuss the ARESENT study, which is a practice-changing study, also that's for published in New England Journal of Medicine, which adds on to upfront combinational strategies for patients with hormone-sensitive prostate cancer and metastatic disease. So before we go more into detail, can you please explain the hypothesis of the study and the methods and results?
So to understand the hypothesis, we have to jump back in time, like around in 2014, 2015. So you remember that we've been treating metastatic hormone-naive prostate cancer with hormone therapy alone for years. And then everything started to change 10 years ago with the observation that if you include docetaxel, 6 cycles of docetaxel on androgen deprivation therapy, you improve overall survival. Then a few years after, we had a whole new class of agents that were the new hormones. And we have basically 4 new hormones. We have abiraterone, enzalutamide, apalutamide, and we have no darolutamide. So back in 2015, we had indication that the new standard of care was actually ADT plus docetaxel. So for us, it appeared as a critical question to analyze whether adding on top of that combination one of the new hormonal agent would actually increase overall survival. Because at that time, when we had discussion around this patient in multidisciplinary team discussion, it was always, are we going to give docetaxel or are we going to give, it was abiraterone at that time, but still today, the discussion goes, do you give chemotherapy or one of the hormones? Together with Matthew Smith and a few other investigators, we wanted to test what we call the triplet, meaning that if you believe the patient needs ADT plus docetaxel, would add one hormone be of benefit for the patient? Docetaxel has been always very difficult to mix with, so we wanted an hormone that was safe, with very little toxicity that could actually not interfere with docetaxel. And that's why at this time, darolutamide appeared to be the most interesting companion. And actually, our hypothesis was proven to be right because that's a quite large trial, 1,300 patients, very pragmatic trial. Initially, we wanted very simple, no very complicated inclusion criteria. The only inclusion criteria was the patient is metastatic, hormone naive. It can be initial or at recurrence. And basically, the only thing is that the investigator feel the patient is suitable for ADT plus docetaxel. And then that very large trial was basically showed that adding darolutamide had a very significant impact on overall survival because the hazard ratio is 0.67, which is, you know, quite impressive. I must say that I'm quite happy because in 2015, we had some doubt. Are we going to make it? Is it going to be enough to add on docetaxel? So that's why we added a lot of secondary endpoint we may discuss later on. But actually, the benefit is so huge that we can claim now that if you believe that a patient was a candidate for ADT plus docetaxel, adding a hormone in what we call a triplet therapy has a major impact on overall survival, reducing the risk of death by 32%. On top of that, very important, we kind of worry about the fact that adding a hormone would decrease the ability to give docetaxel, because many trials who tested that so-called triplet, patient received chemotherapy first, then they received the hormone. Now here we give everything at the same time, and we were extremely happy to see that basically the proportion of patients who could receive the 6 cycle of docetaxel was close to 90% in both groups, no difference. And there was no increase in the toxicity linked to docetaxel, which is very, very important. As for the overall toxicity, that we haven't learned anything. We already knew that darolutamide was a very efficient agent. We had the Aramis trial. We have that kind of near placebo effect, meaning that we can't really distinguish darolutamide from the placebo for any of the side effect we looked at. So basically, we show if you give ADT plus docetaxel before, adding darolutamide, increase overall survival, doesn't deteriorate the capacity to give docetaxel, and has a major and basically no noticeable side effect beside those of ADT plus docetaxel are created by adding darolutamide. So that would be my summary of the trial.
Yeah, thank you. I think so. That is very major findings. So of course, the benefit in overall survival is also a little bit in line with the other studies which have been published, or there's one other study I will come discuss later. That's the PEACE one study, of course, which also as a triplet, and we'll maybe touch upon the triplet, which was also given the standard of care arm enzamet. But this is a real good outcome, 32% reduction with minimal or no side effects. So let's touch a little bit on the secondary endpoints, because of course we have secondary endpoints which were tested in a hierarchical manner. So going from time to CRPC to other clinically relevant endpoints like time to pain progression, symptomatic skeletal events, time to first skeletal event. These were actually all positive. I think particularly the time to pain progression and the SSE, which are clinically relevant for the patient endpoints, were also positive. And then we went all the way down to the PRO endpoint, which was the time to disease-related deterioration. And this endpoint was not positive. Can you comment a little bit on the secondary endpoints and on the FACT prostate specific symptom index questionnaire?
I think basically there were two forms of endpoint. There was endpoint to kind of reassure the company that was time to castration resistant prostate cancer, because they felt absolutely uncomfortable to have a study only based on OS and not having PFS on time to metastatic castration to fall down if the OS would have not been reached. We were confident. So I think that that endpoint is not really relevant what you have OS. So indeed, what is important is all these kind of quality of life and patient-relevant symptoms going to pain, symptomatic skeletal event. There is a double problem. The first one is that the study is still very young, okay? So we still have time to mature. And the difference between the patient stays so long on darolutamide, when you look at the time to castration resistant, that some of these side effects may actually appear not positive just because we haven't yet had a lot of events. So I think that they all goes into the same direction. To me, it's very important, because one of the criticism or one of the suggestion criticism I've got many times is to say, okay, these are, and I'm speaking here not only about Daro, but all the agent. I mean, these are expensive agent. You could give them later. And if you give them now, they're going to cause side effect that's going to be altering the quality of life of the patient. No. Actually, everything we measure, it's just the opposite. I mean, you live longer without pain. You live longer without without needing subsequent therapy. You live longer without side effects, symptomatic even. So I like to see that as a disease being blocks or episodes of sickness. You've got the first one, then you've got the progression. And here, what you're creating is a huge space between the two first episodes of sickness, the diagnostic and the first recurrence, and the space you're creating in between is much longer, and it's not associated with worsening of quality of life linked to one of these treatments. And to me, what makes the result extremely robust is that we have made the same observation for every single hormone we've been using. Maybe, probably, although it's very hard to make direct comparison, maybe even less side effect with darolutamide, although we have to be careful, we have no direct comparison, but the benefit is consistent. Whether it's a patient which is de novo, diagnosis at recurrence, with, and that's important, with or without docetaxel. So I think that that paper says that clearly, no, if you had some doubt about the combination of ADT and a new hormone, that doubt should be gone. And we can say no that notwithstanding timing, volume, or decision to give docetaxel or not, the standard of care is what I call as a urologist, because this is what I've been calling it for years, maximal androgen blockade, meaning associating ADT plus one of the four hormones. Then they're going to be additional question to be created. But to me, that's the most important point. This trial is not about darolutamide first. This trial is about the fact that we can say no, that in any decision, this should be a combination of ADT plus hormone therapy.
If you look at the how we treated patients with HPC in the Netherlands, it used to be following charted, it used to be docetaxel, and since the Latitude and the Enzymet and the Arches trial, we shifted to maximum androgen blockade. And in high volume patients, we are considering, and that's why discussing with our colleagues, to add probably docetaxel. And that was based on the PEACE 1 data and the subgroup analysis for PEACE 1. So that is also one of the questions I had when reading the supplemental data. Where is the subgroup analysis for volume based on charted?
So we will reconstruct it. We will show preliminary data on alkaline phosphatase and stratification in the M1 at EAU in early July. But you could expect, you're probably not going to see a big difference. Why? Because keep in mind where we were. So the trial recruited in 2015, 2017, very rapidly, 1.5 years. So realize that everywhere on the planet, in the MDT, it's mostly docetaxel. Abiraterone hasn't come yet, okay? It's early beginning. So everywhere, same discussion. Am I going to give docetaxel on top of ADT? What we know at the time, we have the initial analysis from GTAC-15 and charted, is that most likely that in low volume, the benefit is not very important. So when you look at the patient population and you look at the overall survival in the placebo group, you can already imagine that the patient that were into the trial were patient with either high volume, high risk, and that the low volume were actually low volume on bone scan, but with very aggressive features anyway. So here, people want to get the volume information on adding darolutamide. I can tell you, because I'm not going to transmit, I'm a secret. It's not going to be different from darolutamide than from the other agent, where the benefit goes across the spectrum. And the study was not designed to test which group benefit from docetaxel. So today, we have provided a very important answer, which is a combination of ADT plus hormone. But everybody is asking us, yeah, but what about the combination with docetaxel? And say, you know, we're sorry, but neither PEACE1 or ARASENS are answering that question. So my recommendation is that keep it the way we kept it, meaning that if you believe that patient is an ADT plus docetaxel candidate, just add the hormone.
So now we have the luxury of two trials where we can give a triplet. So let's discuss some practicalities. So abiraterone is going to be a generic drug in the Netherlands from September onwards. And together with docetaxel, this is a relatively inexpensive combination. But you showed in this trial that darolutamide is a different kind of drug. It has less side effects. Can you maybe state for the listeners which populations in general you would discuss in your clinic, the darolutamide combination? Is it going to be on interactions or different drugs, multi-pharmacy, ECOG performance status?
So I'm first of all, I have to state that I'm a lazy urologist and I've been working with all the drugs. And abiraterone is a great drug. However, it's a little bit more difficult to handle. You have to see the patient every month. You have to do a lot of blood sample. You may be exposed to severe side effects. So to be honest, when enzalutamide came first, then apalutamide, most of us have switched to the anti-androgens because they're more easy to handle. You know, honestly, you start the patient on enzalutamide, you give a phone call after 1 month, the patient is okay. You can honestly see the patient every 3 months. So these two drugs, Enza, APA, are very easy to handle. So at least in our practice, we basically kept abiraterone for those patients that we believe are not good candidate for APA or Enza, you know, patient with severe cognitive decline, patient with pre-existing fatigue, things we have seen during the APCC meeting. I think there is one immediate and measurable and that nobody can criticize. This is the drug-drug interaction profile. Technically, if your patient is on Eliquis or is on Xarelto, if you use APA-ENZA, you are taking the risk that you're going to have to adapt the dosage of Xarelto. That risk doesn't exist, or it's less marked with darolutamide. So I think that there is a list of, I would say, 15 to 20 drugs, some of them being rare, some of them being very common. And once again, Xarelto and Eliquis, where darolutamide, once again, it's easier. And once again, I'm a lazy urologist, so why would I use a drug? I have to do a lot of monitoring where I can do. Then there is all that thing around the side effect profile. That we're going to need more data.
Thank you so much, Professor Tombeau, for your very clear story on the paper of darolutamide in metastatic prostate cancer. So with the ARASEN study, we have a new class of next-generation hormonal agent, darolutamide, which is now also approved in patients with metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. And in this large trial, over 1,300 patients, we have an unequivocal result with a 32% reduction in the risk of death and also key secondary and clinically relevant endpoints being positive. So we have a new drug on the market for patients who receive docetaxel for metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. And these patients can receive darolutamide, but also as an alternative abiraterone for patients in the Netherlands. So we look very forward to be able to give this drug because we are almost finished with the regulatory issues we have. It always takes a bit longer in the Netherlands before we can start giving the drugs, but we're looking very much forward to using this very nice drug for our patients. So thank you so much. And have a nice day.
Thank you so much.
Wilt u geen enkele aflevering van deze serie missen? Abonneert u zich dan in uw favoriete podcast app. Dan krijgt u een melding zodra er een nieuwe aflevering beschikbaar is. Een uitgebreidere selectie van de belangrijkste wetenschappelijke publicaties op het gebied van oncologie vindt u op medischeoncologie.nl/toppublicaties.